I've got money coming in, but I've also got money going out pretty soon on a credit card pay bill, so I'll be counting the days.
Say hello to Miguel Sanchez, your new name.
Oh my god, that's so good. The Goose.
Welcome to the Goose, everybody.
Welcome to the Goose, everyone.
We're currently waiting for other geese to arrive.
But we're not going to wait. They'll arrive and we'll go ahead with a stratospheric podcast.
Yeah.
And they can come and try and catch on. Or coattails.
Try
good luck
and
to them.
Glom off our success.
Yeah.
Yeah, try and wiggle into our worm.
And try to glory themselves by associating themselves with us. But
yeah, try and rub some of our gloat off of us onto them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, what's been going on? Kelly, you had something you were going
to... Oh, yeah. Yesterday I went to the Devil's Glen, which is in Wicklow, and it's bloody lovely. But what's great is that I hadn't been there since I was 8 years old, and I've been meaning to go back ever since, like ever since I was an adult.
When you were 9, you were like, I'll go back at 10. I'll get to go back.
Yeah, it's been in my thoughts and dreams and writings. So I finally went back yesterday, and Dave was very sceptical. He's like, it's going to be smaller and it's going to be crap in comparison to this, you know, dream that you have of
that
it being amazing. But it wasn't. Now,
because you haven't grown since then.
Yeah.
Kelly peaked at 8, was it you said?
I'm probably not much taller than I was at 11 anyway. I think I peaked at 11. I remember the day my grandma just said, because we'd been measuring myself. We had measured me.
Unless...
We had measured I. It's not I, it's me. We had measured me every week. We would measure me once a week.
Keep saying the sentence over and over.
Until...
We measured ourselves.
They measured us.
I feel like I'm doing Latin now. But yeah, I remember the day that my grandmother, we'd been measuring for years, from like age, whatever, you know. I'm quickly going to finish the story. From 9 to 11, and I remember Grandma sat me down with a cup of tea and said, Kelly, I think we should stop measuring. It doesn't seem to be much of a change in the last
2 years.
Last 4 months. I think it was 4 months something. But I shed a tear. I actually did shed a tear. Yeah. Oh. Myra!
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Oh, hi.
I'm going to have to say to Rory, huh?
Either way, you're gonna have to. You're fucked.
We grabbed the two seats that weren't near Rory. So,
poor Rory. Rory's really my best friend, and he's
Thank
my
you.
Favorite member of Goose.
Thank you. Yes.
Well,
how much do you hate the rest of us, then?
Oh my god, it's so good.
Listeners, Moira is wearing a herringbone patterned scarf, and herringbone is my favorite design.
You can't have it.
I'm not asking for it.
It'll go with his shoes, though.
His herringbone shoes.
Yeah.
Do you like
or the herringbone tattoos he has all over his body.
What do you think it is about herringbone that so attracts you, Rory?
I don't know. I just like that design. I like herringbone suits. I have one suit. I'm not a suit guy, but in time, if I buy suits, it'll be herringbone suits. And I like herringbone floors. You know, the tiling.
Are you going
like
to be some kind of creepy guy where you have... Hold on, let me
going
finish the
to
sentence.
Be.
No.
No.
No, I don't need you
no.
to continue. There's no qualifier you can put after that. Are you going to be a creepy guy?
It's going to get
like,
better the
actually,
more I
will.
Let her finish.
The answer is no, but continue.
Then in a year or two, whence you're rolling in money, everything in your life is herringbone because it sounds like it's kind of going that way.
It's going in that direction.
Not everything. Pretty. Some incidental objects. Might
well, so
I
far you have
herringbone
shoes.
Car.
I don't have shoes. These are
no, but this is in the future. Shoes.
I didn't
suit.
Say shoes.
We did.
I didn't say shoes. I never said shoes. Not my shoes.
Okay, if I die, you can have the scarf.
Herringbone.
To you.
Thank you.
Herringbone haircut.
Even if it's me who kills you.
For the scarf.
For the scarf. Well, would that invalidate?
It's okay because you won't have time to kind of. It'll be happening too fast. You'll be able
he
to
chokes
rewrite
me with
the
scarf.
Wheel.
With the scarf. And then I put it on.
What can I have?
You can have my colorful knives.
Okay. What about some of those records? Are they all Gareth's?
They no, they're not all Gareth's, and you can't have them.
Anikin.
Miguel's here.
Why would you want those records?
I like records. Oh, no, can I have the record player?
To sell them.
That's Gareth.
Oh, fine.
Your question bothers me. What can I have when you die?
But that was the game.
That's the game.
Annie, what would you like?
Gil?
What would I like?
From Moira when she dies.
From Moira?
When she dies.
Oh. After she's been strangled by me.
Oh, my God, thank you so much for asking. I know exactly what I want. The little thing hanging in your house with the little people hanging off it.
Oh, the boat.
Yeah.
No, not the boat. Oh, the boat would be good,
I'll have the boat,
though, yeah.
You want the boat? I had to give the boat back to its maker, probably.
Noah.
Can I have your hands?
The devil's hands!
The devil's hands! The devil's hands! The devil's hands!
I have to tell you, because, like, I was telling someone about how Mark sings this song, The Devil's Hands, when he sees my hands, because my hands are very red. Just in case your listeners...
They're so mean to each other.
I know, but...
They are the devil's hands.
No, but someone...
They are the devil's hands!
My friend thought she was hearing the song before I sang it, and it was, instead of the Bill Withers song, Grandma's Hands...
I don't know that one.
Oh, I love that song.
It's such a good song. Grandma's Hands. Yeah, Kelly.
Oh, that one.
That's
you don't know Grandma's Hands? You know all about music.
I know I've let you down. I know.
You know the song Grandma's Hands.
Because I know that's something that we have together, Moira, that, like, we'll make a music reference and the other one will get it, and the three other faces beside us will look blankly at us while we sing television. Little. But I don't know Grandma's Hands.
You will. You'll know by the end of this episode. Grandma.
That's our homework, to go and listen to Grandma's Hands now and be able to recite all the lyrics next week on the podcast.
If me and Molly try one more time, we might be able to get it.
Grandma's Hands! Put the butter in the bacon!
Nope.
Oh, I know that one, yeah. It's a great song.
Put the bacon bag.
Go. All right, so tell me.
So that was Grandma's Hands. That's Devil's right. Hands.
Devil's Hands. I was in Roscommon this weekend.
Oh, are you doing a tour of the counties, or what's happening
here?
Yeah,
what's going on?
I'm unemployed.
Yeah.
Like,
were you visiting Eamon?
I was visiting Eamon.
Very nice.
Uncle Eamon.
It always surprises me where Roscommon is. I mean, I've lived in Ireland all my life, and I'm like, that's where Roscommon is? Like, we were driving to Galway, and I'm like, we're now entering Roscommon. What are you talking about? No, Roscommon's here?
I didn't realize that Offaly and Tipperary share a big border.
It was so great. It was so fucking bizarre. The only thing that stinks about it is, like, you can't walk anywhere.
Does it stink, though? Like, smell? Does it actually
stink? There's actually a kind of stink in the air that's like a fermented dung.
Oh,
they have a name for it.
Nice.
What's it called? Like
Smithix?
Smart.
Smithix.
glass of Smithix. No, it was just like, it stunk that you can't walk anywhere. Like, my friend has this beautiful house on a beautiful property overlooking, you know, valleys and lakes, which were just flooded areas, but, and it was
not
gorgeous.
Not actually like so much as flooded fields.
Just beautiful. And then,
field.
And then
beautiful
you can't,
structure.
You can't, oh, let's walk into town and get lunch. You can't walk into town and get lunch unless you want to potentially endanger your life, because there's nowhere to walk. You just have roads for cars.
I remember finding that spent time hanging out in the countryside, where the irony is you're surrounded by all this beautiful land, but you can't. It's hard to find walks. It's hard to go anywhere. Why are you grinning?
No, it was a private joke between me and Rory as he made another indigestion sound.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't need to point it out.
No, I'm the one who should be making. I wish my stomach was making indigestion sounds. It's all just sitting there like a brick in my lower intestine.
Yeah.
I don't want to go into it, but it's feeling taut and bloated.
Taut is so cute, like a little baby's tummy.
I have a total food. I have my West Cork food baby. the what do we call it? Cake and white bread.
Well,
food baby.
You started the weekend on hot dogs and you ended it with cake and white bread.
No kidding. It was a good weekend for food. I mean, I'm going to have to take a few days to recover, but it was good.
Juice cleanse. Wait, so what was he saying? Yeah, anyway, I don't know. I guess it's a stupid thing to complain about. But I don't like the idea of having to be driven to where I want to go.
You can walk along the side of the road.
Yeah,
no?
There's no side of the road, though. There's no side of the road.
You just have to slap on your high-vis vest and take it.
I just feel like it felt a bit treacherous, but I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe you're right. Maybe I was with a fear-mongering American who's equally neurotic.
What was George Bush doing over there in Roscommon?
He was getting fucked up with me. Fucking getting fucked up with me. And then we went to this great pub.
The War on Lice.
I can't remember what it was called, the Taser or something. And it wasn't really called the Taser. But I do. I was in Strokestown, Roscommon, and I came up with a great T-shirt idea.
Hit us.
Different Strokestown for different folks' towns.
Oh, that's why I'm Moira's best friend in Goose.
Because he gives an audible laugh as opposed to just a appreciative head nod, which the rest of us did.
Usually Annie's holding her head at this point in her hands.
Yeah, no, I haven't been here long enough.
Anyway, that's my weekend. I won't go into it too deeply.
Marcus, tell us of your weekend.
Well, I went out to... I don't know if you've heard about this, Moira, but there's a play of mine that's on at the moment.
Bad friend, Moira.
No, I was joking because I bring it up every week.
Yeah, and it's going to be going on for a few more weeks, so get used to it.
Yeah,
I don't think
it just does not
it's
stop.
In Glasgow.
I'm going to Glasgow.
Get me to Scotland.
So Dundee.
Huh?
Dundee, perchance?
Not going to Dundee. Dundeal.com.
Shame.
Dundeal.com. So wait, tell me, when is it going to Scotland?
Not this week. Not next week, the week after.
So after St. Patrick's Day, kind of thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Sweetie, we're going to Scotland.
But it was in Dunleary, and...
as the Americans call it, Dunlugahura.
Dunlarger Legionnaire's disease.
Formerly Kingstown.
Right.
And it was a lot of fun. We had a really good audience. It was, you know, almost full, and several of my friends came out and saw it there. So it was really good fun on Friday night. But then we ended up going to a pub around the corner, which I can't remember what it's called. And we were told by the people in the theatre, "Oh, there's a quiet pub around the corner."
The Beastie Boys.
The Beastie.
Just for the sake of the story.
Yeah. And so we arrived there, and then within 5 minutes, karaoke started. So there was there's like a karaoke host, you know, usually with these karaoke setups.
No.
So there was this blonde woman with her boobs, and she was like wailing out these songs. But she was kind of an angry karaoke host. Like, it was quite funny.
She didn't get on the Voice of Ireland, and this was the gig she got.
Yeah, basically, she'd sing a song.
Which ironically
kind of
is the gig you get after you win the Voice of Ireland.
Yeah, you go out to the Beastie Boys in Dunleary. And, she was singing songs. And then, like you clap for the first few, but she, like, sang four or five songs. You're like, okay. Anyway, I was saying blah, blah, blah. And she was like, okay, well, let's get one of the singers up here. Maybe they'll get a better reception than that.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God.
Passive-aggressive karaoke host.
Giving out to some people. Like there was a group of what looked like 15-year-olds drinking there. And then they put their names in. And she said, Peter's next. And Peter didn't immediately jump up. So she's like, oh, great. It's a joke one, is it? Oh, great. These are all jokes, aren't they? And then eventually the teenagers got up and there was like five of them. She's like, no, it's too many. Too many. Too many of them.
She sounds like me.
She sounds
this
amazing.
Is a karaoke. No, what are you doing?
It's only karaoke if it's four, but if it's five, it's not karaoke.
You can't separate it when it's five.
You can't get bigger
sense.
Than the Beatles. That's the first rule of karaoke. Four is the magic number. Once you're bigger than the Beatles, it doesn't count anymore.
Yeah. And so then I decided, fuck it, I'll put my name in.
Fuck it.
As I'm trying to do more often these days, just say, fuck it, I'll do it.
Specifically to karaoke or just in life?
To life.
To life. To life.
Profound.
But,
And did you
but then I wasn't sure what to sing. Like, I always, at that point.
Special.
Yeah, I
tell
do.
Tell us what it is. Tell us what it
Saturday
is.
Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting by Elton John.
But you don't really want to do that on a Friday, do you?
Yeah, it's a little awkward to do it on a Friday.
Yeah, I can understand
but it's,
that. Yeah.
Like, because I've sung it, I can sing other songs, but I just get nervous then, maybe there'll be too many high notes in this and I'll fuck it up and I won't be able to do it. And I just know that I can sing Saturday Night's
Saturday,
All Right for
Fighting. Saturday!
So
I would say.
So I always just end up doing that one over and over again.
So is that what you did?
So I did. I sang Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting and it went down pretty well. And the angry blonde lady was like, do you want to sing another? And I said,
You won her over.
Basically, you're getting married.
Yeah,
basically, this is what this is all leading to. Is now Canton is engaged.
You know, getting married. Member of Goose, whether we like it or not.
It already happened. We sang Love Lifts Us Up Where We Belong.
Yes! That's such a good song!
I can't believe we missed that.
No, we didn't actually sing that at all.
Oh, oh shit.
Don't lie.
No, I just gave up.
Yeah, Friday night, people. Dun of a Harry. Here we come.
Shire to Deer.
Shire to Deer.
Cool. And speaking of Shire to Deer, Kelly Shatter. Come on. How was your weekend?
Oh, we talked about her bullshit already. Yeah. Before
the only fun thing that happened. Oh, well, no, I also had a workshop, which was really enjoyable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kelly Shatter's hosting workshops now.
Yeah.
Like a really badass.
Fun. Yeah, you need to push that. Promote it.
Yeah, promote that.
Here,
well,
right now.
It just happened. So if you want to come to last weekend, please. yeah, no, for the next one.
Right, I'm sure some people have a DeLorean who are listening to us.
Mm-hmm. DeLorean, yes. DeLorean.
Yeah.
I have a book.
No, yeah,
DeLorean.
yeah, no. Improv classes. Stoke Improv@gmail.com.
It'll be taking place in Stoke upon Trent in England. Yeah. So it's a lovely town in the Midlands.
Yeah.
In
get stoked. It's time to stoke your stogie.
Okay, I know that the name, you know, it's just
good
meant
name,
to be in
actually.
And of itself.
No, but you
don't
want
think
people
it.
To
we
be
should
able
say
to
it over and over again.
Jokes about it.
Stoke your stogie.
You can stoke my stogie.
Moira, leave room for the cigarette.
Oh, yeah, shit. I know, she's such a fascist about that.
Yeah. No, I
or a
so
cigar.
If you want more criticism like that, you can go down to Kelly's Improv class.
Yeah, that was a good example.
For the cigarette.
You know, the rules are meant to be broken, Kelly Shatter, okay? The rules are meant to be broken.
Did we talk about Rory's weekend? Did I miss that as well?
Yeah.
We actually didn't, but I feel like Kelly is just going to shut me down as soon as I...
Oh.
Don't
yeah, Kelly has been asking me questions and then saying, I'm not interested.
It's
yeah.
true, I have.
Yeah.
That was a joke.
She was asking me about both my shoes and I was starting to tell her. She's like, I'm not interested, just like your phone.
Yeah,
I'd
Rory got a new phone.
Weekend,
he
promise.
Started telling us about it. We got bored pretty fast.
I promise I won't. I'll just listen. I'd love to hear about your
week. I actually was productive during the week, but I don't think it's anything particularly...
Okay, cool.
I like that.
So,
Marina also... got a gig in Tipperary at a hotel doing murder mysteries.
Our Dundrum.
Dundrum Shopping Centre.
Yeah,
oh
maybe.
Oh my god, that is a great
we
place
did
for a murder mystery.
Get talking to somebody.
Let's not tell anyone we're doing a murder mystery. Just stay to
I've been trying to do this for years.
Oh.
You
let's
know,
not
I
any
actually,
ideas on the podcast.
I'd be either a great detective or a great perpetrator.
You're definitely the perpetrator.
I would be. I could be a crusading detective too.
No,
I absolutely could. Only
I'm going to Rory on this one just because I feel like I need to put in some support.
Thank you.
Only in the kind of Dexter psychopath detective
yes.
style that you
yeah.
would find other psychopaths by being a psychopath yourself.
Wait, Mark, don't forget you have to be the crazy, you're the analyst, the forensics guy.
You're the forensic analyst.
I punched in the numbers. And speaking of nerds... something else I did at the weekend was the 24-hour plays.
Oh yeah, I was gonna. Try. Oh, yeah.
That's a good segue.
I'm the innkeeper, and I want to go back to the murder mystery.
You can be the innkeeper for sure.
I'm the innkeeper.
Okay, well, where's the innkeeper?
The
and
sad
the
innkeeper.
Let's hear about them, and then we'll go back to the innkeeper.
The 24-hour plays was a lot of fun. So what happens is we met on Saturday night at about 8:30. And there's all the actors, the directors, the writers there. 6 writers, 6 directors, and 24 actors. And then everybody had brought in a piece of costume and a prop, and the actors all had skills and things
really?
They'd never done on stage before. Huh?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I know.
Tell
yeah.
us an example of some of the skills awesome. That they have. And then
actually,
some.
Shit, I've written them
down. Oh, very good.
Are any of them innkeepers?
Brian.
Any of them play innkeepers?
Brian. Oh, Claire. Claire Barrett can do a fireman's lift, carry someone in a fireman's lift.
Wow!
A roller skate. Jacinta Sheeran can cry like a baby and do a Dolly Parton impression.
Amazing.
I don't believe that for a second.
Hilda Faye could tap dance. Sam O'Mahony could hold his own breath for a really long time. But it would kind of be hard to prove that on stage.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could find a way.
Can he make all the blood rush to his face like this?
But who did you have? Who did you have? You wouldn't have
who
had
did,
all of these people.
No, we didn't have all of these people. So so that went round, and I came with absolutely no idea of what I was going to write. So then I was then writing till 5 in the morning was the idea. And you're supposed to write a 10-minute piece, and you're supposed to come with no ideas. And so everybody does these props and stuff, and I was looking at them and I'm like, nope, I have no ideas based on this.
Oh my God.
This is supposed to inspire us. Yeah, it was just a whole bunch of crap, basically, on the
come
round.
Come on, I want to hear the rest of the story. What happened? The play was good.
Boy!
It's the journey.
I'm with Noi on that one. It was a very...
Okay, keep going, Canton. Go on.
Jesus, well.
We're being particularly grilled today. Is
to everybody.
Jesus, Geese. We're going to have to go on that bonding weekend soon.
Yeah, we are. Awfully, here we come.
Bonding or bondage?
Yeah, because Moira's working through her county, so she's going to have to hit Awfully next, I think.
Next time.
Anyway, Canton, continue.
Please go on. I'm
sorry,
totally
Mark.
Interested.
Sorry, Mark.
So, yeah, so then we had casting. I was paired up with Louise White, who was going to direct my piece, and so we kind of went through and we're like, okay, we think these... Basically, we just picked a whole bunch of funny people. From the actors, and that all happens in secret. And then, so we ended up with three guys: Aaron Heffernan, Sam O'Mahony, Paul Reed, and Genevieve Holma Beamham. And we were like, okay, these are all three funny people. And then Louise
There's
said
four
to me,
people there, wasn't there?
Four people, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
John Beam was just humorless. Humorless.
So. Louise looked at them and was like, well, it's like three handsome guys and one pretty girl. Why don't you just do a thing where they're all dating each other? And, you know,
you just rewrote your play.
Basically, yeah. Louise was like, just do one of your things where you do that kind of thing. I was like, okay, grand. Let's not make this complicated. Just do that. And just, yeah, wrote this comedy thing and just had to just keep bombing it out until 5 a.m. And then I wrote this thing about these three, what I thought were average guys, and this girl who's seeing all of them separately. And I went in the next day. I went home, went to bed, slept for about 6 hours, came in the next day about 2 o'clock to see where they got to in rehearsals. And it found that all four of them were playing it as, like, uber nerds, like Screech from Saved by the Bell type nerds. I was like, oh, that's so I write what I think is average dialogue. Normal guy dialogue, and it turns in it's absolute stinkers of nerds. So I was like, oh god, you're all playing this as me. Oh, that's very nice of you. And then we carried on like that. There's like a 20-minute tech, and eventually, yeah, the actors all struggled to get their lines, and it all passed off without a hitch. It all went very well, and the audience really enjoyed it.
That's I like when things great. Go badly.
And it was in the Abbey.
I
should
say
that.
I like when things
you
go badly.
Say that.
Oh, it was in the
that's
Abbey.
That's kind of
like the Titanic.
Really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, that's not so much funny.
But you like it, though.
But I do like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you like it.
What did she like?
The Titanic sinking.
The Titanic.
And
oh, right.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, hilarious bits.
Yeah, just like life. Just being like...
Horrible.
Difficult.
Yeah.
Anyway... That's story deflated.
So you're saying that you write like a nerd.
But there was a thing, okay, which happened last night over the course of the 2 days, the 24 hours, was that I'm a comedy writer, and so I was always going to write a comedy thing. But there was other writers, and it was kind of, there was six pieces. Some of them were quite serious and very good. But there's also, it's kind of a...
Would you, sorry, can I interject your question? Even if you had thought that some of them hadn't been good, would you feel obliged to say that they were all good just because this is a public thing?
Yes. Name names.
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
But that's not...
I know, I'm not saying that is the case. That's not the case. They were all good.
Overruled. Yeah, so, but there was a thing of, like, it's all being done in 24 hours, so it's kind of a festival, carnival kind of atmosphere in the theatre. Everyone wants to have a good time with this crazy idea. So there was kind of a thing of, like, I felt a little bit guilty.
Got it in. Our word of the day is guilty.
That I couldn't get everybody into my show. Like, there was, I think some actors who were in serious things were like, oh, I really would just love to do a comedy thing. Like, the stupid thing that, you know, you guys got to do.
I can't believe that most people don't write a comedy, because it just seems like if you've
that's
only got
format.
To... Yeah. You...
But, like, some writers aren't naturally comic writers, so yeah. It would be really difficult for them. Yeah. Whereas...
Those poor, poor people.
I can't imagine it.
And there were some things that were serious and funny at the same time, and, you know, that worked really well as well. But I felt a little bit like Oscar Schindler at the end of Schindler's List.
Wow.
Whoa.
I could have done more. I wish I could have brought more with me on the comedy road. But some people had
it's
to get left behind.
A great mapping of guilt right there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I like the idea of guilty being the word today.
Do you?
Yeah.
What would you like to say about it?
What wouldn't I like to say?
Yeah.
Like how shame and guilt are like the two emotions I feel most in life.
Yeah, it's because you're...
I have problems.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's just because you have problems.
I mean, it's like, look at you.
Maybe you dress like a Mennonite, you're 30 years old. You feel shame and guilt all the time? Think about that one.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about, like, what is the difference between guilt and regret? Like, I think you can regret things without feeling guilty.
Absolutely.
About them.
Yeah. There's a very clear difference, I believe. Yeah.
Can you ever feel guilty without regretting, though?
No.
Maybe not.
No, but you can feel guilty in the moment. Like, regret is a past tense thing.
Yeah.
No, I don't think
it's
that.
You can feel guilty in the moment.
Regret can be something that you were not responsible for. Like, guilt, you're responsible for something bad happening. Regret, you just wish it hadn't happened.
As a Jewish person, I'd like to say that you don't have to be responsible to feel the guilt. You can feel the guilt all the time.
I was going
to
say, I'm walking, talking anxiety machine, and guilt is like breathing. Guilt is breathing for me.
Yeah.
What do you breathe in? What do you breathe out?
Okay.
Moira's guilt respiration system.
I breathe in my childhood, and I breathe out vitriol.
Wow.
And it goes through the guilt network.
And it goes through the guilt network.
Like, it comes out guilt of vitriol. Loop.
And then my lungs collapse.
I have to say, I didn't grow up with much of a... There wasn't much guilt surrounding my growing up. Like, there wasn't a lot of, you know, there's no religious guilt. There's no, you don't sort of have that. But at the same time, my dad always says he always feels very guilty, that he feels guilt is something that's very much in his life. And I feel guilty about things sometimes, but I don't feel like I'm a guilt-ridden person. Like Moira is. I would be much more of a... like Moira is.
Now
which is why Moira and I get along so well.
Right. That's right.
No, but it's why we get along
that's
so well.
That's right. We're a double act.
Yeah. It's like, here's the optimistic sort of move on. Who cares?
Yes.
Don't worry about what other people think.
And here
then...
is the negative. Life is horror.
Yeah.
Life is horror.
Most people are out to get you.
I'm ashamed of the fact that they're going to get me one day.
That you are alive. Yeah.
Do you feel guilty about your guilt?
You should.
I do a little bit.
You really should.
Yeah, that's one thing my therapist has taught me. It's that I should feel guilty about feeling guilt.
You guys know that I was born with a twin brother, right, named Liam. So I think I just feel guilty to be alive because I stole nutrients from him and he died after we were born.
Survivor's guilt. I didn't know that. Is that true?
I knew that.
True. Really?
It's true.
What an amazing thing. Oh my God, Moira,
I remember
so much
that you told me that, but you told me it as a joke.
Oh no.
I didn't know how to react because I can't remember exactly, but I
you were like, that's a fucked up thing to joke around about.
Yeah.
I think you said, and I
but
was like,
once I figured out that it was a joke, and I feel like there were, I can't remember it exactly, but
it's not a joke.
It's not a joke.
No,
but she did joke about it.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said once you figured out that it was. Did you not say once I figured out
it was a joke about it?
Was she was joking about it, but that it was true. What?
Yeah. She was joking about, like, the way she delivered it, she was joking.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I kind of figured out that it was true, and I was like, don't joke about that. Or don't put me in a position where I'm
you're laughing.
About that.
Oh, no, you were laughing.
I can't remember if I was, but
that's
I was
why
like,
you were laughing.
To make another
funny,
person
I mean,
guilty.
I can imagine you being able to say something as dark as that and have someone else.
It explains
crack
so
up.
Much, though, Moira. Thank you for sharing that.
As well as his nutrients, did you also take his guilt? You ate up his guilt?
Yes, I think I must have eaten some of that, like whatever. Yeah, his spirit.
Do you though ever, like, I think I feel guilty about making other people feel guilty. I feel like I'm kind of good at making other people feel guilty. And then
oh, you're
feel,
good at that?
Yeah.
Really?
By being extra nice?
No, I think when I was little, I was really conniving and quite an angry little girl. And I used
really?
To, yeah, really angry. And I used to make... make my mom feel guilty about things. Like, I would scream at her, like, would she take me to the doctor? Like, if you loved me, you wouldn't let them do this. You know, like, that kind of stuff. And I remember thinking, she's going to really feel that. She will. So, like, when I was unhappy, my reaction would be to make other people feel like they weren't caring enough about me, which I think is not a nice way to behave.
But it's still not the worst way.
No, but it's really not it's not a good way to behave. You should just be more honest and be like, I don't like what you're doing to me.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to be a very articulate 7-year-old, you know.
It's also hard to believe you were an angry child. Like, I don't
believe
that.
No, I got all my anger out very early. from about birth till about 10.
And happy birthday to you. I'm done.
I'm done. I'm done now. I'm done now with the anger and the vitriol, and now I'll just be happy.
Aw.
Yeah.
There's the hope for all of us.
See? Yeah, you just got to get through your early development phase, and then...
Yeah,
Rory, how do you feel about...
Well, I used to have a lot of guilt, and then I went and I lived in California for 11 years, and I expunged about 97% of it.
Mm.
So there's still a bit left, and there's still a little bit of anger in the tank.
But you'll always be a little bit Irish.
Though. A little bit of Irish, yeah. But I got... Oh, California was great. Mm. It was really great.
How did it expunge your guilt?
How did California?
Yeah.
I don't want to wax too lyrical, but it's...
vitamin D does great
vitamin
things.
Vitamin D, so, you know. The lifestyle is very progressive, and, you know, there's...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just
people don't like, carry grippling guilt around with them either.
Yeah, and you're around...
Just realizing there's so many Jews out there.
Yeah. You're making good choices a lot more because you have, like, nice weather, and... Is that
and there's kind of more...
Like, exercise, and...
Or were you like, I'm not as bad as that schmuck, so...
No, I just think California is kind of like a...
It's a hard place to feel really low, I'd say.
But if you
like
do, but if you do feel, it's not just that, but if you do feel low there, they've like, hey, go see, go do yoga, go whatever. It's just, you can explore
go smoke crack.
Out there.
Yeah.
So I think I've expunged the vast majority, but not all of it.
Well, here's a question, which I was thinking in a kind of sci-fi film way. If there was a procedure of some sort... to remove guilt, that you would never feel guilt again, would you have it?
Yes.
Yes.
No. Well, basically what you're saying is...
You take a pill.
You could take a pill, Moira, and you could have no identity after you take the pill.
I don't think that was my
choice. What you're saying.
But Moira, don't you even get your issue that you have so much identity tied up with guilt? But actually, you probably don't. Like, you're probably still the same person even
without
feeling
I don't think so. I don't think... How am I supposed to write anything without this guilt?
I totally disagree with that. You do not need angst to fuel your writing.
But sadness?
No, you don't. I mean, sadness and angst are two different things.
I think as long as you care, then you can write. You'll
really?
Still care.
As long as you're artistic, you're right.
I think guilt is one of the most useless... Guilt and jealousy, I think, are the two most useless...
Yes, you could just get rid of and you'd be grand.
I've killed 4 people, and the first one, I felt guilty. I felt so guilty, and I was like, if I'm going to keep on doing this, I cannot, I gotta deal with the guilt.
Pill.
So I went to a great therapist in California, you know?
I think there's a difference, maybe, in feeling guilty about a specific thing and feeling general guilt, though, as well.
True.
Like,
yes.
Yes. just generally feeling guilty
of
feeling
guilty. Yes! 95% of his guilt.
This is an estimation.
Because guilt, I think, is there, so we learn something, you know. Don't do that again, because you feel shitty after you insulted that person to their face, or you... You know,
smack that.
But then I think personal responsibility and guilt in relation to that is one thing. But then also, like, sort of being alive in the world as the world is currently is a constant feeling of guilt that I think I find overwhelming. You know, the clothes on our back, the fact that there's like 21 million people who are still slaves, like, you know, the economy, the way it's set up, the structures that exist. I don't think there's a possibility of me ever not feeling guilt and joking around about it being like, it's who I am, it's my identity. I feel the world's pain.
Yeah, I get that as well. No, I get that as well. But I think the way to kind of live through that is do as much as you can within your own ability. And then at least you know that you're doing the best you can.
Just acknowledge
it. And again, because it's kind of useless to just feel unhappy about it and to take it on board if you can't be happy in your own life. Because that's, I think,
That's what we're talking about.
That's what we're talking about.
I had a pretty happy day.
And don't feel guilty about that. That's okay. It's okay to have a happy day.
Okay.
Hey, today, maybe it was yesterday, Moira wrote a playlist about, which I think covers everything we need to know about the topic of guilt.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to
great, do I'm the keys.
A radio play.
Oh, here we go. Do you have yours?
Yeah.
All right, hang on a second. Just we all have to look on with Danny.
I'm going to cue you.
Don't give away
Jesus
the fucking thing.
Jesus Christ,
yeah.
The talking chimpanzee.
Yeah,
everyone's
going to know what
talking chimpanzee role.
Keys. Yeah, the blind one. Yeah, the blind one as soon as I'm done with you. You fucking chimp.
Oh,
I hope
no.
You're going to feel guilty about that now.
Okay, Moira, please introduce this play for the listeners.
Okay, this is a play called Guilty. Guilty. I was going to be guilty as charged. But
imagine if you just wrote this before we got our word and it was pure coincidence.
Yeah, that would have been so funny.
Beautiful.
Yeah, anyway, that's exactly what happened. And I wrote it, and it's for everybody. It's for you. It's for me. But it's mostly for you, Liam, my dead twin.
Do they get podcasts in heaven?
Definitely.
Where do you think you are going there, sister?
To the store, of course, to buy some medications for my smoking cessation program, Father Dominic.
Well, good. That's what I like to hear. Self-improvement is a virtue that I value in my brides of Christ.
Thank you. Can I get you anything while I'm at the shop?
Yes. A bottle of mouthwash. I'm all out.
But I just bought you a bottle of mouthwash yesterday.
You did indeed, and today I need another one. If you'd be so kind as to pick one up for me, it would be much appreciated.
I will see what I can do. Oh, Father.
Yes, my dear.
I need to borrow oh, Father. Oh, Father.
That's a question mark, yes.
Oh, Father.
Yes, my dear.
I need to borrow the church van in order to go to the shop. May I have the keys?
Of course, but of course.
Thank you. Oh, these are all sticky. This is, gross. This is chewed gum.
Oh, sorry about that. I keep it in my pocket in case I run out of the fresh stuff.
Oh, can you please peel it off for me then? And then put this hand sanitizer on the keys before you give them back to me. Thank you very much.
Of course.
I saw that.
Oh.
I saw that.
Saw what?
I saw you just drink some of that.
I was just taking a taste. I tasted it. I didn't drink it. Don't be silly, sister.
I am not being silly. This is worrying me. I'm worried.
Have you seen my gas rag anywhere? You know, the one I put over my mouth until I feel less than I do on an average Monday morning.
And then they all do heroin.
Did we not need someone reading the directions?
Yeah, definitely. It didn't work at all.
Sorry, maybe.
Well, I think it said everything.
Well, it needed to be needed.
The hand sanitizer joke didn't come up.
Father Dominic does as asked and then takes a sneaky sip of the hand sanitizer. That was the whole thing.
That's the whole joke. Mm. Well, want to do it again?
No.
No.
I really want it to be good.
I'll dub in the noise later. I took a gulp there. Did you not hear my gulp?
Yeah, but the gulp doesn't really work without the...
What if we say it now?
She says exactly
I said it.
I did.
Father Dominic does as asked and then takes a sneaky sip of the hand sanitizer.
Well, if I say it, so that it's
maybe because your voice is
crapping locked.
No, it's just that you're...
Father Dominic does his ass and then takes a sneaky snip of the hand sanitizer.
Okay, that sounded like Father Dominic does his ass.
Yeah, I was just going to say, but it actually I thought that when Kelly said it as well. It sounds like he's doing his own ass.
Father Dominic does as asked and then takes a sneaky snip of the hand sanitizer.
He just sniffed.
Oh, fuck, I'm not doing it.
That's the keys. The coolest podcast in the world. To each other, we're the coolest
podcast in the world.
To each other, we're the coolest podcast in the world.
You're the coolest podcast in the world.
You are gums.
You're the coolest podcast. You're the coolest podcast. You're the coolest podcast in the world.
You look like head lice.
In the world.
We say podcast.
I do look like head lice.
I thought we were saying we're the coolest fuckers.
No, Jesus.
I'm the coolest fucker that ever was. That's what I was saying.
The problem is, like, we're not actually very cruel people. That's the...
That's the real problem.
Yeah,
we need a lot of practice.
Thanks, Annie. Put me down about my lack of cruelty
you
now.
Are yeah, not thanks, Annie. Nice. Hope you're feeling guilty. Oh, no, wait, you don't do guilt.
I don't do guilt. I do not do guilt.
I like this. This is good.
That we're all shouting into
it. I mean, I do guilt. I feel it occasionally, but I try
we're
not
the,
to.
The happy
I've
Mondays.
Been trying to quit.
Have any of us been in a fun court case? And now referring to me, I was telling Mark earlier that when I was 18, I was assaulted by 5 guys.
Oh,
and
that's
horrible. Yeah, it was horrible. But it ended up being like this litany of court cases because there was a criminal prosecution, which got it got delayed. The guy kept on having his solicitor or whatever make excuses, and eventually, after 9 months, it went ahead in this little.
Was it just one guy or was?
Yeah, well, it was one guy. There was five guys, but it was one main guy. Anyway, he lost. He was found guilty.
Did he break any bones?
No. And then he.
How did he hurt you?
What did he do?
Well, no, there was
Moira,
four guys.
Demonstrate?
No, it was four guys. It was just they beat the crap out of me after a party one night. It was unprovoked. Anyway. But there was one guy who got prosecuted, and he got found guilty, and then he appealed, and he got found guilty, and then I sued him. I got £5,000 from him.
Nice!
Yeah.
Well done.
Fuck you, Jim Mead. And I can say his name, it's not slander, because he was found guilty.
Did you know him from school at all?
No, he was actually, I was 18 at the time, and he was in his 40s. He owned a pub.
What?
He owned a pub. I was coming back from a party. I was walking my girlfriend of the time home from a party. It was actually the first.
Who also happened to be his wife.
Yeah.
Unprovoked.
Anyway, it's a whole long story, but it was late at night. This car got out, and this guy had been driving he owned a bar in the small town, and he was driving people home from the pub. Came across myself and my two friends, who then didn't join in and help me. But he went after. He was kind of verbally harassing one of my friends because he knew him from the town. And I was like, "Whoa, calm down." And they started beating me up. And then my friends didn't do anything.
Oh my god!
But that was
we would totally verbally cruel. I would physically support him.
But it was a big. I guess my point is that it was a
really
big.
Really intimidated by this group of people.
Mark's gonna yell just supportive things.
But I guess
to the assailant.
To me,
the whole
Kelly.
Thing it dragged on for about a year and a half between all the court cases, and it was kind of like a drama in my life when I was like 18 and 19.
That's hard.
Then I got $5,000 out of it.
So you thought I'm going shopping.
Let's go shopping. We used to go to TK Maxx, okay?
Didn't have it back then, but it was back in like 2011 when I was 18, so.
2011.
Good joke, Roy.
He did say pounds.
I did say pounds, so that'll give you. It was 1996.
Wow.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's
I was barely born then, so.
But it was just such a big kind of like all my friends, it was always like a topic of conversation and things. And the big days in court and stuff. It was kind of fun in hindsight because I won each case.
Mm-hmm.
And you represented yourself.
Oh, yeah.
He was kid lawyer.
My cousin Vinny was on TV last night. Classic.
My mom used to be like a combination of Joe Pesci meets mostly Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci meets himself.
Joe Pesci
from My Cousin Vinny.
A schizophrenic Joe Pesci.
He's Joe Pesci from Home Alone.
Do we have more time in the podcast?
Asshole.
I don't know.
She's making the asshole sign over.
I feel like guilt.
Again.
I feel like we've only scratched the surface.
Of guilt?
Yeah.
I know, but I'm worried it's very, very, very heavy.
That's okay. There are some good anecdotes in there. There's a play.
If it's interesting.
There's Kelly making hand signals just saying asshole over
Kelly,
and over.
Kelly, in your personal opinion, do you feel... Well, yes. I mean, it's interesting. If this is not for just Kelly. For everybody, do you feel like... religion plays a part in your guilty feelings, and if you had sense of religion at all, would you still have the guilt feelings that you do?
I strongly, strongly believe that the Catholic influence in Ireland is responsible for the Irish being such a guilt-ridden nation. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I would say no for me. As we know, I'm not religious, but nor was I brought up in Catholic.
But you don't really have the guilt thing either.
You're not a guilty guy.
I feel guilty about things.
It's a different thing.
But
you don't feel it's not kind of a permanent fixture. It's a different thing.
Well, no, I mean, you know, I would feel not permanently. I'm not permanently labored with it, maybe, but you know, I feel guilty about what's going on in the world, same as Moira would. I mean, I was. As a child, I was, even though it wasn't a religious influence, I don't know, I guess just through education, I felt very guilty about where I was in the world and how, you know, I mean, Ethiopia was happening, you know, when I was a child and Live Aid and all that stuff, and I felt really, really guilty about that.
Yeah, I think that's probably a human thing, isn't it?
I think that's a human thing, because when you're a child and you see, this is Comedy Gold right here, pictures of famine on the TV, then you're going to feel bad. I don't know if that's... the same as, like, you will feel guilty, maybe, but I think you'll feel it and it'll pass, as opposed to maybe the religious thing is that it affects how you interact with people, kind of.
It affects the whole world.
How so, then?
I would say that the Jewish thing is like a day to day, like everything is a, and everything is communicated through kind of passive aggressive guilt. So if you want something from, if you want someone to be a certain way, rather than just kind of having an upfront, and you know, a discussion, it'll be much more likely that, like, my mum would offer to get my hair cut for me because she thinks I'm too shabby. So it's like, oh, can I treat you to a haircut? So
would your mother, for example, compliment that new pair of shoes you're wearing once?
I don't understand.
It's a callback.
I know.
Yeah.
Those aren't new shoes. Those aren't new shoes.
Sorry, listeners. That's a little bit of undercurrent of tension between Kelly and I from a double-handed compliment she gave me before.
But I think that's, I mean, I think that's sort of, I see that as sort of like an Irish thing as well, though.
That's the thing.
Not necessarily Jewish or Catholic even, but just an Irish.
Yeah, but I feel like I have a double whammy because I'm kind of very much Irish because this is where I've been obviously born and grown up in my life.
You're not that Irish, though. Joking. Sorry.
Oh my God. Okay, and then you're also Jewish.
Yeah, so I think it's definitely interesting to have it from both ends, both angles.
Yeah.
And that's the quote that'll be in the title of this episode.
In both ends.
It's interesting.
Semicolon.
Both ends
guilt.
From both angles.
It's not going to be different strokes towns for different folks towns. That's the episode title I had in mind. For my t-shirt company.
There can be two, actually. There's two spots to put that in the RSS feed. Just so you all
Tech nerd talk.
We'll see you next week at the Fuse of Fringe.
Oh yeah, we're doing a Fringe Fuse on Monday the 10th.
Is that an open event
of March? It is an open event. There is free beer, but it's a first come first serve situation. I believe it begins at 7:30.
The show's at 7:30. I guess so.
There will be other groups involved as well. And then if you'd like to just see Goose
Tuesday
kicking butt, is that?
Well, I haven't called Eddie.
There may or may not be a show. We'll let you know next Monday whether we're doing a show on Tuesday in Unshaw upstairs.
And that fringe gig is in the Fringe Lab in Temple Bar.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Upstairs in the Fringe offices. We'd love to see all your beautiful faces.
Which is beside Eden, our needy restaurant.
Hey guys, has anybody checked the Goose podcast email lately?
No.
We should. No. Somebody email us. We'll check it. I just want to know that somebody has been roused. Yeah. Not just that we're being listened to by 12 people, but that somebody's like, you know what? I will email them.
If you have been aroused by what you've heard today.
And then feel guilty about it.
Just remember, it's interesting from both ends.
And what is that? What is
and
that email?
Angles.
Good question.
Goose Comedy.
Goosepodcast@gmail.com.
Oh. Is it?
No.
Goosecomedy@gmail.com.
I think I set up another one as well because you couldn't remember the password.
I know the password. I'm going to say it right now. And then Mark's going to have to beep over it. Cool.
Listen, just try to email anything, any combination of the word. Goose Dublin, Goose Ireland,
podcast.
Can I just want one more thing before we go? Gareth told me a fact about geese, and I think it's really beautiful.
Okay, let's have it.
And it made me think of Rory's story there when he told it. But apparently, if a goose is, they're flying, you know, you're flying in formation. We are flying in formation. We're in the sky.
Yeah.
We're in our little V, and then I'm like, and I have to land. Generally speaking, at least two geese will land with me and stay with me until either I die or I'm better.
Oh, that is lovely. I feel like we would probably do that.
I feel like if you did die, those other two geese would be riddled with guilt. They'd be like, we could have done more.
Yeah.
We could have done more.
That's true.
They're probably just there for your scarf, though.
Yeah.